From the land of Grand Teton University at Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 10th day of December 2013, USDA Report Day. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about those reports with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Don Day will be here to take a look at the weather forecast. It's going to stay bitter cold. It looks like not only for the next few days, but for the entirety of the month of December, and maybe for January, and it might not be very good conditions across the whole of the wheat-growing regions of the United States as it pertains to snow cover. We'll talk more with him during our last segment of the program today. Hey, and stay with us, because it should be a good one right here on Illinois Public Media for the Closing Market Report.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Let's check the numbers as they finished in Chicago. On this December the 10th USDA report day, a wheat futures soft red lead option, that's the December contract, $6.29.5. It finished 9.5 cents lower. The March at 638.75. The settlement price down 11.75. July contract 642.25, down 10.75. The hard red winter July or harvest month at $6.80.4, down 8.4. December corn futures finished 1 cent lower at 427.5. The March at 436, down 2, and the May at 444.5, down 2 cents. July contract in the corn at $4.51.75, the settlement price down 1.75, and December corn at $4.65 for the harvest month at 2014, down 2.25 cents. March 2015 contract at $4.76 for the new crop, down 2 cents. January soybeans, $13.38.25, 5.5 cents lower. The March at $13.22, down 4.75, and May at $13.04.5, a settlement price 7.25 cents lower. July at $12.91.25, down 8.5, and November beans at $11.67.25, a nickel lower for the day. January of next year at $11.72.25, next year meaning next crop year. That's the 2015 contract, down 4.75. December bean meal at $4.64.10, up $2.50. The January at $4.38.30, down 40 cents. And December bean oil at $39.91, 14 cents lower. Live cattle futures nearby December at $131.67.5, up 7.5 cents. February at $132.65, down 40. January feeders 40 higher at $165.55. March at $165.47.5, up 7.5. And December lean hogs at $80.82.5, down 55. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, January contract, $98.46 a barrel, up $1.12. January gasoline or wholesale price on the RBOB at $2.68.8, a penny and 3 cents higher. Ethanol futures at $2.02, a penny and 3/10 cents lower. And I've got the spread back into play now, 68 6/10 cents wide between the January contracts of the gasoline and the ethanol, and that's 2 6/10 cents wider than it was on yesterday afternoon's close. Natural gas at $4.23 9/10, up 7/10 cents, and diesel fuel at $3.02 1/10 cents, up 6/10 cents. Gold futures at $1,261.80 an ounce, $26.90 higher, and the U.S. dollar at 79.96, that's down 0.17 for the day. The weather forecast for our part of the world in Urbana-Champaign says it's going to remain cold. We again talked with Don Day of Day Weather at the bottom of the half hour. Outside of our studios now, it's 28 degrees. We're going to go to 29 maybe, sunny skies. It'll be breezy out with a west wind in Urbana at 15 to 20 miles an hour. And then tonight, partly cloudy and a low of 12 degrees. Wind chill values between 4 and 9, west winds at 5 to 13, gusting to 17, and for tomorrow, partly sunny skies and a high of 24 degrees. It'll be cold because the winds will be up around 7 to 16, gusting to 23. So wind chill values between just 3 and 10 degrees. Tomorrow evening, mostly clear and a low of 4 degrees. Wind chills between negative 8 and 1, and Thursday, sunny skies, 19. Partly cloudy on Thursday evening and 16, and a 30% chance of snow after 1 o'clock on Friday afternoon. Otherwise, mostly sunny and a high of 31. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business. So Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On the phone line with us to take a look at the commodity futures markets this afternoon during the closing market report, Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
You know, this morning, the United States Department of Agriculture released its latest WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. It's the balance sheet that tells us where we are and where we may be headed with the number of bushels and acreage and all kinds of things that are already in play. Was there anything that you found of most interest today?
Well, of course, the one that stuck out was the negativity of the wheat. The average guess for carryout was 540, and they raised to 575. And, of course, the world's carryout of the wheat went from an estimate of 179 to 182.8. So, basically, that's the one that was down 9.5 today. The corn and the beans were, I thought, a little bit on the favorable side, but well within the ranges of the guesstimates, and basically reacted positive for your short term, but then it went back to maybe they weren't quite as bullish as some were hoping for, and the anticipation when the market run-up that we'd seen this week before coming into the report was, some of it was just taken back. But it looks pretty much like we're in the trading range on the corn and the beans yet until the January report, or something else happens in the world.
I suppose the important part may be for the average farm price. USDA is now predicting both for corn and for soybeans that it is dropping. In the last projection for soybeans, it was from 670 to 730. Today it's 665 to 715, so down on both the top and the bottom end of that. And for corn, it went from a 410 bottom to a 405, and from a top at $4.90 to a top now at $4.75 for the average cash price. That, of course, is kind of a rolling average that includes what has been sold of the new crop from probably July on, and what has yet to be sold. And as we've heard many times, farmers are weak hands, and many believe farmers have a lot of grain in their weak hands at this point. Maybe USDA is pointing to that as well.
Well, it sure looks like it, Todd. I mean, definitely the farmers have been holders of this grain. After the first of the year, I don't know how strong holders they'll be. They still have, they're pretty cash flush right now, but and they didn't want to put it in this year's income especially. But I'll tell you what, it does look like they're going to try to make them bleed a little bit and make them want to move some of that corn out the first of the year. The one thing that I'd like to, point out to farmers is check your bins. This corn crop, as we're seeing over here with a lot of our farmers, it's not storing quite as well as it has in a lot of years. It didn't dry down quite as good, and it isn't aerating out the moisture. So take a look at it and sell it before you take a dock on the test weight, on the damage.
Yeah, it's been in for maybe a couple of months in some cases at this point. It's always good to take a quick glance, make sure that it's in good condition. Whether it is or is not, is this a place for corn and or soybeans that's on the farm or in the elevator, not priced to price?
The soybeans, we're seeing some tremendous basis levels here. Mm-hmm. We'd like to, we got up in that 1350 bracket today. Some of the technicians are saying we can rebound maybe up to 1375, but the 1350 was our level to make a few sales, and not everybody on report day got that done, of course. But like I say, I think the 1350 level there, and I think anywhere in the 435 or above basis, the December corn of the 440, just under the 440 mark, and the March corn is probably a place to make a few sales if you haven't sold much.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana, and joined us here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
One item of note for those of you that listen to Commodity Week on our home station, WILL AM 580, we will be moving that program out of the Saturday slot for the first time in its 25-year history. It will be live immediately following the closing market report each and every Friday afternoon. So that'll start at 2:36. If you're interested in the program and want to hear it live, you can. Otherwise, I always tell you it's up on the website at willag.org on Friday evenings rather than 6 o'clock. Maybe by 4 o'clock, but we'll find out how quickly I can do that. Now here's Dave with the news.
In agricultural news, top officials from a dozen Asian Pacific nations are negotiating down to the wire on a trade agreement aimed at boosting economic growth, but basic issues separating the two biggest economies, the U.S. and Japan, could complicate a goal of finishing the talks this year. The U.S. and Japan are at odds over the Trans-Pacific Partnership's goal of across-the-board tariff cuts, including those in such politically sensitive industries as agriculture. The negotiations between Washington and Tokyo over tariffs and market access mirrors disputes with other countries in the negotiations. Australia would like better access to the U.S. sugar market, while Vietnam is seeking to overcome some barriers to its textiles exports. Still, people close to the talks say that differences among the 12 countries are reconcilable and that officials should be able to tie up a deal within the next few months. The U.S. Cattlemen's Association continues to urge members of the Farm Bill Conference Committee to leave the country of origin labeling program alone. USCA is strongly opposed to any amendment that would alter or repeal COOL. The group says legislative action on COOL is unwarranted, and it would not be appropriate for Congress to disrupt the ongoing process at the World Trade Organization. USDA is proposing changes to a loan program for rural home buyers. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack says the changes will help create jobs and enable more people to participate in the loan guarantee program. Vilsack adds the changes will add significant capital to rural areas and give rural Americans more opportunities to make financial decisions. Public comments on the recommendations close on January the 8th. Smithfield Foods says it lost $4.2 million in the company's second fiscal quarter on decreased operating profit in its pork segment and $52 million in costs associated with the merger with Shuanghui International Holdings. The loss compares with net income of $10.9 million in the year earlier period. Smithfield Foods pork segment lost $123.8 million year on year. Agrial today says that Brazilian soybean planting advanced 5 percentage points over the past week to reach 94% complete as of last Friday. Forward sales of Brazilian soybeans were relatively sluggish in November. As of November 30th, Brazilian farmers had sold just 39% of their projected 2013-14 soybean crop. That's up 5 percentage points on the month before, but well back from the 59% sold at the same time last year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. One other agricultural news note for the day. This one comes from the Palmer House in Chicago, Illinois, where members of the Illinois Farm Bureau have elected a new statewide president. Farmer Rich Giebert from Illis Grove, near the confluence of the Mississippi and Kaskaskia River south of St. Louis, serves as the organization's 15th president. Giebert has promised to pursue four primary issues. Promoting agriculture as a career path is among those four, and where Giebert began his first official press conference as president of the Illinois Farm Bureau.
Illinois has some of the brightest and the most talented kids around. We need to keep them in Illinois, go into our four ag schools or colleges, and then to stay in Illinois and be a part of Illinois agriculture, whether it's in manufacturing, technology, and are to come back to the farm if they have that opportunity.
The other issues Giebert cited include building relationships with commodity groups, consumers and legislators, working to expand livestock production within the state's boundaries, and increasing communications with the Illinois Farm Bureau membership.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Hey, don't forget, tonight we kick off our winter meeting season for the Will Ag Market Outlook panels at the Farm Credit Services building in Mount Vernon, Illinois. That's at 5:30 for pre-registration. Supper's at 6, the meeting at 6:45. Our panelists this evening, Gary Schnitke and Sherman Newland, along with Matt Bennett. And then tomorrow we'll be at the regional corn meeting that put on by University of Missouri Extension. We'll be in Sankston, Missouri. I'm not quite certain, but I believe the actual city is Minor. There are twin cities there. And we're at the convention center. Nonetheless, right next to the Drury Inn at 1 o'clock, Dan Zwicker and Jackie Vakes, along with John Bondurant and myself, will take the stage for one of our Will Ag Market Outlook panels that at the regional corn meeting put on by University of Missouri Extension tomorrow in Sykeston. Hey, speaking of Gary Schnitke, he dropped down to my studio in the basement of Mumford Hall yesterday to talk about his latest article for the Farm Doc Daily website. It's about crop insurance premiums in 2014. RMA has updated some information, and Gary has begun to do some calculations.
Yeah, we have all the information we need to calculate premiums. We still don't know the projected price and the volatility, so we're using projections of those, and we'll know those at the end of February, but we can begin to look at what those premiums look like for 2014.
How does RMA go about setting the items that you have available at this point to begin the calculation?
So RMA develops rates, and that's based on a history of losses based on 25 years of history. The last time, or this time when they've introduced or reintroduced those rates, they included 2012, which had some large losses in them, and that likely led to some increases in rates. So it's a 25-year rolling history of premium losses in the United States.
Did I make note in the paper you wrote for the Farm Doc Daily website in the summary that last year's premiums and this year's premiums will be nearly the same?
That's correct. They'll be slightly lower in a lot of cases this year, and by slightly lower, let me give you an example. For an 80% policy in Sangamon County, last year it was $1,289. This year it'll be $1,247, so about the same price. And that's even given that we're using a $460 price for estimating the premium this year.
Compared to what price last year?
$565 was the projected price for last year.
So the 2012 losses really made a big difference in the premium this year. It's much higher than it was.
Yep, the premiums are much higher. And I also used a bit higher volatility than was last year. Last year the volatility was 0.2. I'm using a 0.22 volatility in the calculations this year, because it looks to me like right now that's what the volatility will be.
That seems a bit counterintuitive to me, given what I believe volatility means, but my definition of volatility may be different than the way the RMA views it, so I would think that would mean the swing in price. And it doesn't look like price ought to swing that much, at least at a lower level compared to last year.
It's based on it's calculated based on what are the price of premiums of our on put and call options, and so those are the one things that enter it. So it's not necessarily the swings in the price at the current moment, but what put and call.
But price. Put and call options at the current moment. So we have to think not of 2012, but of 2011 at this time of year, December, which looked really steady with a big crop.
Yep. So it's that volatility could come down some, which would make those premiums come down.
Go through some more of the numbers for the Sangamon County example for
me. So premiums are about the same. We did a calculation or comparison of the guarantee levels between 2013 and 2014. 2013, we had a 565 price. 2014, 460 is what we're projecting. So that lowers the per acre guarantee on an 85% coverage level from $845 down to $731. So at that 85% coverage level, it's about a little over $110 decrease. So we're going to see those guarantee levels go down this year because of that lower projected price.
I can recall as we made our way across the state in previous years on the Illinois Farm Economics Summits, a graphic which would show the premiums and the potential payouts and the crop insurance, and a graphic that simply showed all green, and that no matter what you did, as long as you bought the proper crop insurance, you were going to make a profit. I suspect there will be red in this year's crop insurance graphic.
So just using the Sangamon County 85% coverage level, and again, that was a 187 bushel guarantee yield, we had a $730 minimum guarantee. Well, our cost of non-line costs are over $500, but let's say $550. Add $300 cash rent, and you can get a lot higher than that. You're up to $850, and that's above the $730 guarantee.
Is this going to make a difference in whether people decide to take crop insurance or not?
I think most farmers will take crop insurance, because if you don't take crop insurance, you really are increasing your downside risk. If anything, those farmers that took lower coverage levels in previous years may want to think about upping them just to get a higher guarantee on that.
What are the next mileposts that we'll see from RMA, from the Farm Doc team, as it relates to updates on crop insurance and the calculators that are available online?
So the calculators online will be available later this month in December, so we'll begin calculating the premiums that are available. The other major change that's going on this year is the county level program has been changed, so we're updating the GRIP to ARP, Area Risk Protection, now this year. That will be released again later this month, early January, and then we'll do our evaluations in January, and then in February we'll begin to know exactly what that projected price and volatility are.
Thank you, Gary.
You're welcome.
Gary Schnitke, Farm Management Specialist at the University of Illinois. You can read more from him online at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Learned Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learned Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Hey, if you'd like to learn more from Gary Schnitke and you're in the Mount Vernon area, you can do that tonight starting at 5:30 registration. Supper at 6:45. Gary will take the stage along with myself, Matt Bennett, and Sherm Newland for one of our Will Ag Outlook marketing panels. It's absolutely free. That's at the Farm Credit Services Illinois building in Mount Vernon. We'll see you tonight. Back in 2 minutes, we'll talk about the weather forecast.
It's National Lager yeast seems to have emerged during the Roman Empire, and its production faced almost immediate opposition from established brewers and the Roman Catholic Church. Private lager brewers were required to produce their beer outside city walls. On this day in agricultural history in 1864, Henry Rowell Schoolcraft died, an American explorer. He is noted for his discovery of the source of the Mississippi River in a lake in northern Minnesota, which he named Lake Itasca. Schoolcraft published an account of the journey in a narrative journal of travels through the northwestern regions to the sources of the Mississippi River. In 1855, Henry Ridley was born. An English botanist, he was largely responsible for establishing the rubber industry. His experiments convinced him of the enormous economic potential of rubber as a plantation crop. His principal contribution was to develop what is still today the basic method for tapping the tree, the removal at each tapping of a thin layer of bark from the end cut, thus permitting a smooth flow of latex and allowing the bark to regenerate. And in 1877, Dr. Jared Kirtland died, a physician, naturalist, botanist, and teacher. He is credited with developing 26 varieties of cherries and 6 varieties of pears. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Don Day on the phone line from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don. How are you?
Good afternoon.
Things here have been cold. They were quite cold last night. I'm wondering whether it will stay that way.
You know, it will, although there will be some modest moderation in temperature here at the end of the week. The overall trend that we're seeing on our long-range charts for the rest of this month sure looks cold. And we've got a big reason for that. We've got a big area of warm water up in the Gulf of Alaska that's going to favor high pressure just off the west coast, and another area of high pressure in the North Atlantic. And that's like two bookends. It kind of keeps the cold, stormy weather out of Canada from really going anywhere else but south. So this is going to end up being a very cold month for most of the nation. This includes the Corn Belt, but especially the Northern Plains, Northern Rockies, Great Lakes.
Okay, so it will be cold. I would prefer it not to be snowy, if that's the case. What are the possibilities?
Pretty good. I think the probably the worst weather is where this coldest air is going to meet some of the more moist air in the southern and southeast and mid-Atlantic states, kind of like what we have seen so far this week. But I do suspect that the systems that we see coming between now, Christmas week, and up into New Year probably will bring opportunities for the Corn Belt and Midwest to see some snow. This is a pattern that probably will take us right into the New Year.
I say I would prefer not to see the snow, but wheat producers certainly would prefer to have snow on a dormant crop so that we don't end up with winter kill, especially if we have really bitter cold temperatures. Do you see a problem for them at all?
I do see a concern there because this most recent Arctic air mass that came in this past week rivals some of the Arctic outbreaks in the late 80s, early 90s, even go back into the early 80s, to where we had many temperature records broken, not only just for the date, but some all-time records in some areas. So with that already happening this early in December, the odds of it happening again before the winter's over is pretty good. So getting snow cover is going to be important.
I know it's difficult, but when you get into January or sometime late in December, do you see any change?
Well, I tell you, that is a real big debate right now in the long-range forecasting community because we're getting conflicting signals. We're getting some signals that January could have, well, a classic January thaw for many areas of the nation. But there's also some indications that the pattern that we're currently in could be very stubborn and hard to break. And if that's the case, at least the first part of January may be a continuation of this cold.
Turn your attention to the southern hemisphere for me, please.
Well, that's the place to go if you want better weather, although portions of Australia did see snow this weekend at the start of their summer season. You know, conditions right now in South America are looking pretty good, Brazil in particular, and Argentina as well, at least here in the next 5 days. A favorable weather pattern there with temperatures not far from normal, and precipitation close to those normal amounts as well.
And just as you look across the whole of the growing season there so far, are they back into pretty good condition, do you believe?
From right now, from what I'm seeing, yes. I think we'll need to be watching for maybe some dry areas in Australia. That'd be one area to watch.
Okay, thanks so much, Don.
Thank Keith.
Don Day Jr. is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Don't forget to visit with us tonight in Mount Vernon at the Farm Credit Services Building for one of our Will Ag Outlook panels. Registration starts at 5:30. Come on in. Supper is at 6, and 6:45 we'll begin our Will Ag panel. I'm Yovie Extension's Todd Gleason.